Welcome to the Lives of Courage podcast, where we dissect what it means not only to survive, but thrive. And that might be in the face of adversity, that might be because of something that has really come up for you, an emotional scar, something that really has hurt. And really, you understand that you don't want to stay stuck. You don't want to choose comfort over courage every day, that you're ready for something more. I'm your host, Jessica Stong. I'm here to guide you through insights and strategies to unlock that person that you were truly meant to be, your fullest potential. So today we're diving into a topic that resonates for many of us, myself included, self-sabotage. How and why do we inadvertently set ourselves back from our goals, our dreams? And what are those patterns and behaviors, and habits that hold us back? I want to shine a light on these behaviors, but more importantly, discuss how we can overcome them and what it looks like to choose courage over comfort, to choose ourselves, to choose who we are truly meant to be. So whether you are listening to this on your commute, maybe you're at the gym, walking on that treadmill, maybe you're cozy at home, this episode is your first step towards breaking those chains. So I want to get started. There is no time like the present to talk about self-sabotage. And this starts with a simple but profound truth that our greatest battles are often ourselves, are always ourselves, right? You see, our brain, as complex and incredible as it is, it can sometimes be our own worst enemy. By default, it wants to keep us within the bounds of what's familiar and comfortable and safe. That is what our primitive brain's main goal is to do. And this tendency, while once protective, can be so limiting or even destructive, I might say, if I'm going to be as bold. And it's my podcast, so I can be as bold as I want. But it's like having an outdated software running on a brand new computer. And we've got this, like, we're ready, the computer's set up for it, but we're still running this outdated software that's slow, that has lots of bugs, lots of problems. And this behavior, I believe, stems from a lack of understanding about how to effectively manage our mental chatter, our stories, our mental energy. And if you listened last week, you learned that and technique. But instead of directing our thoughts towards growth and learning, we slip back into that primitive brain's response, into survival mode, reacting to the challenges with fear or maybe denial, which is another way of expressing fear. And this reactionary stance can really make us feel stuck, overwhelmed by the stresses of daily life or by major life decisions. And so, how do we sabotage ourselves? Part of it's fear, fear of failure, fear of change, fear of the known, unknown. But these few fears are fueled by various factors. It might be past experiences, past traumas, societal pressures, our upbringing, the messages we received. But the good news is that understanding these patterns is the first step towards breaking them. And I want to say that, like, again and again, that understanding is the first step. It's not the only step, because I think awareness, yes, is powerful. But I think so often we want to just get aware and then be like, well, that I'm done with that. Now I'm ready. I'm cured. No, it is the action we take on the other side of awareness. And then once we recognize these self-sabotaging thoughts, emotions, actions, behaviors for what they are, we can then begin to address them head on. So I want to delve quickly or not so quickly into the specific ways we undermine our progress. And I've seen this. I've asked people about this. I know what I do myself. But first up is mismanaging our mental energy. Imagine this, that every negative thought about yourself is like a small leak in a dam. And I'm acting this out, but you can't see me. Like I have a dam. And each time that we have that negative thought, we get a small leak. And over time, these leaks cause that dam to fall apart. We get a flood. We're overwhelming ourselves with self-doubt and insecurity. When we constantly criticize ourselves, when we constantly anticipate the worst, we are not being realistic or prepared, I say in air quotes, you're reinforcing the belief that you're not capable of overcoming challenges. And so that's our first way we sabotage ourselves is those negative thoughts. And so the second way that we sabotage ourselves is emotional avoidance and forced productivity. Now, that was a Freudian slip if I've ever heard one. It's tempting to ignore our feelings. I'm very good at this. Or coat them with a layer of unfounded optimism. And that's what I see in the coaching world time and time again. We tell ourselves if we can just stay positive, everything will work out. Or if I could just think better thoughts, everything will work out. But this isn't a strategy. It's a stalling technique. It's a stalling tactic. By not facing our true feelings, whether it's sadness, it's fear, it's anger, we miss the opportunity to confront and resolve the underlying issues. It's like painting over a wall that has stains or mold without addressing the moisture that caused the mold. It might be like, I think about this. I flooded our upstairs sink and it came down into our kitchen. And I told my husband, I was like, just paint over it and everything, no one will know. And he's like, but there's damage. There's damage to the floor. There's damage. You know, we don't understand. We've got to address the root, but we're going to get to that. The third way we sabotage ourselves is that we have the habit of viewing failure as final. And I want us to think about a child learning how to walk. Yeah, we're going to stick with that. They fall countless times, but each fall is merely a step towards running. It's a step towards jumping. They're going to be jumping off of sofas soon. Why should our approach to personal and professional failures be any different? We allow our kids to fail. We want our kids to learn how to fail, even if it's hard and even if it's uncomfortable for us, but we understand the growth mindset, right? We understand that we need to have challenges to really refine us. But we don't apply that to our own lives. Every setback offers valuable lessons that are critical to our growth. First, we have to do the work to reflect and find the valuable lesson in the setback. But when we label what we did as failure, but most importantly, when we label ourselves as failures, and I don't know where that Southern accent came, we deny ourselves these growth opportunities. And I am pointing here for extra drama. So that's the third way we sabotage ourselves. We view failure as final. The fourth is the tendency to change everything at once. And I'm only laughing because I do this. It's like wanting to lift 300 pounds on your first day at the gym. You'll either hurt yourself or you'll be so discouraged you don't want to go back. Sustainable change is about incremental improvements, setting small, manageable goals that build on each other over time. And I say this because I want to share with you a way that I sabotage myself. So I want to cut out gluten and sugar. I know it's healthy for me. It's part of the Walls protocol that I use to manage my autoimmune condition, but I am off the wagon. I'm not even near the wagon. I'm like shoving sugar at, like, this is the last time I'm going to have sugar. So I was talking to my doctor about this, and she was like, okay, what do you need to do? And I'm like, I'm going to cut all the sugar and the gluten out of my diet all at once. And she's like, oh, so that sounds like a very reasonable, easy thing to do. That's not changing everything all at once. And she knows. I know that it's small baby steps over time. And how many of my clients come to me and they're like, I've got to change everything because nothing's working. And I'm like, oh, I see you in that. I meet you there. But what I know about behavior change that I want to only apply, oh, as I hit my microphone because I'm so worked up about this, that I only apply to other people's lives, but not my own, is we can't change everything all at once. And finally, lastly, the fifth way we sabotage ourselves is by externalizing the solution. We think if we only had a but fill in the blank, then I would be happy. If I only had a bigger house, if I only had a different, or my partner was more connecting or wanted to connect more, if I only had a better job, if I only had better kids, then I would be happy. If I only had kids without learning differences, life would be easy. And this mindset places the keys to our happiness, or the keys to just surviving or thriving, in someone else's pocket, in someone else's purse. True contentment, and progress comes from internal changes, adjusting our attitudes, our thoughts, our actions, our responses, and our self-awareness. I can't say that enough. We want it to be something else. We want it to be, you know, something else outside of us. I always say, I know so many people with lots of money who are deeply, deeply unhappy. That we think that it is one thing that will bring us happiness. Yes, it makes life easier. I'm not going to lie. But I see it. And it breaks my heart, people, that we think that it is something outside of ourselves that's going to bring us fill in the blank. Maybe it's happiness. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's ease. Each of these areas represent common traps that keep us from living our best lives, living our most fulfilled lives. And recognizing them is crucial. But taking intentional steps to avoid or mitigate their effects is critical. It's about reprogramming our brain to support rather than hinder us. So let's say you, sweet friend, might be overwhelmed with all that's on your to-do list. So you hustle harder, if you're anything like me. You do all the things all at once. And this doesn't seem to be changing the situation. And you might just want to know how to make it work. You want to think that there will be a day when you don't have to struggle or grow your business or ask for a raise or put off savings or anything to get ahead. You might be exhausted and have nothing left to give your family or your spouse at the end of the day. You end up yelling at your loved ones and feeling terrible in the process. I'm thinking me right now. This is just like you probably go to bed and then repeat the process the next day. You might feel that everybody else gets the best of you. You always seem to be putting others before yourself, always. Your kids, your spouse, your job, your employer, your business, your employees. And you just want to measure up at some point. Probably you've tried all the things. You've read the books. You've paid money for courses that either didn't work, you didn't finish. And you're looking for help to get unstuck. You're ready to feel good. You're ready to achieve your goals and live the life that you were called to live. And you also recognize that you get this one life. What is it? This one and precious life. And you actually want to live it. Instead of sabotaging yourself, you're ready to change for good. And to bring this discussion into the real world, let's talk about Sally. Sally is not her real name. But Sally, like all of us, was caught in a cycle of self-sabotage. She hustled, trying to meet every expectation, both her own and those of others, without recognizing it, right? She was stuck in a constant loop. Despite her efforts, she felt stuck. She felt unfulfilled. When Sally came to me, she was overwhelmed and she was considering drastic changes in her life out of sheer frustration. And how many of us have been there? So what changed for Sally? It first, as we always say, began with acknowledging her patterns of self-sabotage, particularly her tendency to externalize the solution to her problems. She always thought the next big thing would make her happy without recognizing it. A promotion, a perfect family, right? Fill in the blank, a new house that was easier. And that's always mine, if we're going to be honest here. What she learned through our sessions was a way to look inward and to start making incremental changes in her life. Sally decided to set one small achievable goal, or she set small achievable goals, but we started with one. And instead of overhauling her entire life, she focused on one area at a time. And this approach not only reduced her feelings of being overwhelmed, but also gave her that boost, that confidence boost of seeing real progress. And it wasn't what she thought it would look like. And we had to train her brain even to see the progress because we have this negativity filter and we talk about that. But her journey from stuck, from feeling stuck to feeling empowered, was a testament to the fact that understanding and tackling self-sabotage head-on can profoundly transform our lives. So what gives? What are some practical steps? How can you start overcoming these self-sabotaging behaviors? Well, we're going to first recognize the behaviors. You might want to keep a journal. You're going to note when you feel stuck, when you catch yourself repeating negative patterns. Awareness is that first step. I have people do it in their notes app, like because we don't always have the journal with us and we need to write it down really quickly. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And then next, we're going to challenge these thoughts. We're going to challenge these behaviors. Let's say you find yourself avoiding emotions. You're going to set 5 minutes at the beginning, end, middle of the day. I don't care when. Whenever you have 5 minutes, you're going to reflect on what you feel and why. We think we need to do it immediately in the moment. And yes, that's better, but we can do it anytime. Maybe you're setting unrealistic goals for yourself. You're going to break those down into smaller, more manageable tasks. It's about creating a new narrative for your life, one where you are in control. And most importantly, I want you to be patient with yourself. Change is a process. It involves lots of trial and error. It requires persistence. We cannot expect immediate perfection or that old habits will disappear overnight. We're going to celebrate small victories. They pave the way for big success. Maybe you need someone to help you. Maybe it's a friend who can really help you celebrate those small victories or acknowledge those small victories. Maybe it's a coach. And we're, of course, have a challenge. This week's challenge is to identify and address one self-sabotaging area. Maybe it's a behavior. One of those five ways you sabotage yourself. Step one, you're going to reflect and identify always. You're going to reflect on your routines, your thoughts, your emotional responses. You're going to identify one specific behavior or thought pattern that is holding you back. This could be anything from, which is mine, procrastinating on important tasks like writing, or doubting yourself, or avoiding difficult conversations, or comparing yourself to others. Like, there's the list is long, sweet friends. Step two, you're going to journal about that behavior for the next 3 days, 7 days. You're going to journal about what that behavior looks like, what it makes you feel like, what the thoughts are, how it, you're going to note when it was triggered, how you felt before, during, and after, and what the outcome was. I want you to try to be as detailed as possible. And then finally, nope, not finally. We have five steps. I couldn't remember. Step three, we're going to challenge the behavior. So let's say 3 days you get clarity. On the fourth day, you're going to review that those entries. You're going to look for common patterns or themes. Maybe you're hungry and these patterns show up. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're overwhelmed and that's when it happens. You're going to ask yourself why you engage in this behavior and what fear might happen if you don't. And just so you guys know, this will be a blog post as well. So you're going to be able to see this. I'll link it somehow in these show notes. So you can just take these five steps. Step four, you're going to implement the change. So each time the situation arises, you're going to consciously say, oh, here we go again. I'm going to choose to act differently based on the strategy I've outlined. I'm going to continue to journal my experiences, noting any difficulties, but also noting any successes, small successes. And step five, at the end of the week, you're going to reflect on how challenging this behavior was, how it affected your thoughts and actions. You're going to consider whether this change has made a positive impact. You're going to think about how you continue to build on this progress in the future. You're going to decide, is this what I really want? And then you might want to share your journey. I love to hear from you. You might want to direct message me on the Instagrams at Lives of Courage. You might want to put it in podcast comments. What did you learn about yourself? What was difficult? And what felt liberating? What felt revolutionary? This is the first step. This challenge is the first step towards breaking the cycle of self-sabotage. It's not about perfection. It's about progress and self-awareness. I cannot wait to see what happens as you come about this, as you go about this. If you're feeling stuck, if you're ready to move forward and start living the life you envision for yourself, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I invite you to try out coaching. Maybe you just want a 30-minute session and you want to learn what it feels like to be coached. It's free, sweet friends. It's a journey towards dedicated personal growth where we support each other in overcoming barriers that hold us back. There are tools, resources, all working towards a common goal, breaking free from self-sabotage. I don't know why I said that. I just thought, I'll just throw that in. But it's about you. It's about living the life that you know is out there, that you know is within your reach. If you change your thoughts and emotions to change the actions and results you get, you don't have to do this alone. You can. It's absolutely, that's why I do these podcasts, so that you can take this work and really apply it to your life. This is cognitive behavioral therapy in action. You, my friend, and only you can transform your life. So I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Lives of Courage podcast. Remember, every journey begins with one single step. You have the power, my friend, to change your life. It's like Glenda the Good Witch. You've always had the power, my dear. You have the strength to break free from patterns that hold you back. So I just encourage you and cheerlead and hurrah, hurrah to take that first step today. So let me know how it goes. And I want you to join us next time as we continue to explore new ways to live courageously and empower ourselves and others. Until then, sweet friends, keep fighting the good fight. Live with courage, live with passion, live with purpose. Have a great and courageous week. I love you all. Talk to you soon.